This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Every fisherman has a story about the one that got away, but Chet McKenzie is dedicated to making sure that one particular species of fish in Lake Champlain doesn't. McKenzie is a fisheries biologist with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department, and he's not trying to catch the fish per se, but for the first time he can now keep track of the extremely old large sturgeon. That's because biologists surgically implanted tags in some sturgeon caught earlier this year. I made the mistake of describing sturgeon on a recent trip out on McKenzie's boat as beautifully ugly. That remark prompted McKenzie to tell me, half jokingly, I think, that he's never had to throw anyone overboard before, because to McKenzie, sturgeon are not beautifully ugly, they're just beautiful. And he's tracking them because their numbers are threatened by everything from overfishing to attacks from sea lamprey. I headed out on a recent sweltering hot summer's day with Chet McKenzie and Tyler Brown, also with Fish and Wildlife, to listen for a distinctive click or ping from a portable acoustic receiver. The device lets them track the tagged sturgeon and monitor them to find out where they go in the big lake.
Like we've been trying to pick, relatively calm days. This isn't a big boat. You can obviously, hear more when the water's calm. You know, these are acoustic tags, and if there's a lot of wind chop on the surface, it kind of masks the tag. Yeah. You want to set up that receiver? In addition to those permanent receivers I talked about, we're using this portable receiver to find lake sturgeon, and the nice thing about it is that we can go out and look in areas that aren't covered by the permanent receivers because the range is only about a half mile.
Before we get into the reasons why you're doing this, let's talk a little bit about sturgeon themselves. I mean, these are pretty much ancient fish we're talking about here, right? How old are sturgeon?
Well, the family of fish developed, 133 million years ago. They were, on this planet when dinosaurs roamed it. They've survived. They're here now. They're a really unique fish. They can live for 150 years. They can reach 200 pounds. Some have been reported larger, but the record is a 200 pound fish. They're very unique looking fish. They have a leathery skin. It's not scales. They have these big bony plates there that protect them. They have a shark-like tail. They have a really unique life history. Also, when they hatch out, it could take a female sturgeon 25 years before she matures and spawns. And then once they spawn, they may only spawn once every 4 to 8 years. So that's why adult mortality is important in terms of managing lake sturgeon, because it takes for a long time for those fish to mature, and then they don't spawn every year.
How many fish have been tagged so far?
We had 10 acoustic tags this year, and that's what we put in 10 fish in the Winooski. And the intent was to put five tags out in the Winooski fish and five tags in the Lamoille fish, and I thought it would take 2 or 3 years to do that. And then this spring we caught 16 sturgeon in the Winooski River, which is much higher than any year we've sampled in the past. We sampled from 1998 through 2002, and I think our biggest catch in a whole season on both rivers combined was 7 fish.
They are endangered in the state of Vermont, is that right?
Yes, they're listed as an endangered species here. And they are listed as either threatened, endangered, or a species of concern in 19 of the 20 states that they're found in. And that's true for some Canadian provinces as well. Most of those stocks became endangered because of overfishing. It's easy to overfish a fish that won't mature for 25 years and then may only spawn once every 5 years. Overfishing was a big problem. Dam construction, that prevented the access to spawning grounds. Also prevented access to nursery areas. These young sturgeon usually remain in a river for a year, and they use that river as a nursery area. So as you lost access to not only the spawning but the nursery grounds, that affected reproduction.
Chet, what can you tell us about this technology that you're using now to track the sturgeon?
10 years ago, when we were originally, more than that, 13, 14 years ago, when we were originally sampling for this fish, we tried to use radio tags to see where the fish moved in the rivers. And those radio tags had a very short range, a very short lifespan, and the technology has changed a lot. Now we're using these acoustic tags that have a life of 10 years. They send out a coded signal that can be picked up not only by a portable receiver like we're using today, but these stationary receivers set around the lake. So whenever a fish swims by it, that tag will ping. So the technology certainly changed, and it makes it, you know, we can learn a lot of information about these fish by putting a tag in once and following it over 10 years. The first time we pulled those portable stationary receivers in the Winooski, I had something like 8,000 data points of lake sturgeon swimming past. You know, a lot of those were times the same fish swim past slowly or staying in the area, but it's a tremendous amount of information we can collect, both with the stationary receivers if they swim by them, or with the portable receiver like we're using here today.
What do you hope to learn from tagging the sturgeon?
What we'd like to learn is, you know, where do they go in the lake? And are there areas in the lake where we can actually sample for lake sturgeon? So if we can use this technology and find where they congregate in the lake, then we could sample in the lake under more stable conditions, and we could measure over time how many fish we're catching, and then you could determine whether the populations are increasing or decreasing. It's just too shallow right now, and the wind keeps blowing us in. We have not been out yet and not found lake sturgeon, so we're going to find a lake sturgeon.
All right. Yeah, I was hearing very faint pings.
You could hear a faint
one? Yeah, it wasn't picking them up, though.
All right. So now what we do is go somewhere, throw it over, listen. Anything up?
Yeah, we can try that. Right now we're just listening for sturgeon. You'll hear, if we find one, you'll hear a distinct ping.
Now if we hear champ, we'll know that too, right?
Nah, I don't know. Although some people think champ is a sturgeon, so maybe we could make that reach. I don't know.
I've heard that theory.
So it came up with a fish right when I turned it on. Yeah, but I don't know. 145.
So they were loud enough, I think, for you to hear?
That was a
okay. Is a loud. To date, we've found that these fish have moved out. They've stayed in that, you know, 35, 40 foot of water and shallower. We can't pinpoint their exact location, but pretty much if we want to find sturgeon, we go out in that, you know, 10 to 35 foot range, and we're able to, you know, hear a fish in the distance and then close in on it.
That series of clicks we heard near the end of our trip meant Chet McKenzie's record of locating sturgeon each time out this summer is still intact. And even when they can't get out in winter because of weather conditions, they'll still be able to monitor sturgeon with some stationary receivers placed around the lake.